Good morning. The Secretary General will update you, and then he'll be here for a few questions. Secretary General.
Good morning. We have just finished the last working session of this defense ministerial meeting. We have taken decisions that will further strengthen the security of our alliance. NATO is committed to projecting stability beyond our borders and playing a key role in the fight against terrorism. We support the global coalition to defeat ISIS with AVAX surveillance flights and with training of Iraqi forces. The coalition has made significant gains. 98% of territory seized by ISIS in Iraq and Syria has been liberated, and more than 7.5 million people have been freed from ISIS oppression. Now we must ensure we keep those gains, because security abroad means security at home. So we have just agreed to start planning for a NATO training mission in Iraq. This has been requested by both the Iraqi government and the global coalition. NATO already trains Iraqi forces, but establishing a mission will make our current training efforts more sustainable. It will benefit from better resourcing and a well-established process for allies to contribute forces. We will also plan to help the Iraqi forces becoming increasingly professional by establishing specialized military academies and schools. We are planning to scale up NATO's presence, and we are not planning for a combat mission. We can make a big impact with our trainers and advisors in full coordination with the Iraqi government, the global coalition, and other actors such as the UN and the EU. Today, we also considered NATO's other priorities in the Middle East and North Africa. We agreed that we need to improve our ability to react to future crises in the region, including with enhanced planning and exercises. And as our experience has shown, building local capacity is one of the best tools we have in the fight against terrorism. NATO continues to help strengthen the Afghan security forces, and we work with our partners like Jordan and Tunisia, helping them to modernize the security institutions and train their forces. So we addressed what more we should do, including closer cooperation with the European Union. Last night, we were joined by EU High Representative Federica Mogherini and our partners Finland and Sweden. We had a very good discussion on NATO-EU cooperation, which we all agree is of strategic importance. We are committed to stepping up our cooperation on military mobility, cyber defense, and in countering terrorist threats. We also discussed recent EU decisions on defense and how they can complement NATO's work. This ministerial has helped to lay the foundations for our summit of NATO leaders in July, and that meeting will set the direction of our alliance for the years ahead. So then I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay, we'll start with CNN in the fourth row.
Thank you. Ryan Brown with CNN. I just wanted to talk about the issue of burden sharing. This you didn't mention it in the opening remarks, but there's been a lot of political pressure to get the allies who do not meet the 2% of GDP to come up with national plans to do so. But I understand that some 13 countries have yet to do that. You do not name those 13 countries. Wouldn't it benefit from some additional pressure by naming those countries to kind of help encourage them to come up with national plans?
The message on burden sharing is that we are making progress, but that we still have a long way to go. We decided back in 2014 to stop the cuts, to gradually increase, and then move towards spending 2% of GDP on defense. Since then, we have actually stopped the cuts, and we have seen that across Europe and Canada, there has been an increase in defense spending for the first time in many, many years. And we are also moving towards spending 2% of GDP. So we are moving in the right directions. All NATO allies have in their national plans promised to continue to increase defense spending in real terms. And back in 2014, three allies met the 2% target. This year, we expect eight allies to meet the target. And by 2024, 15 allies have stated that they will be at 2% or above. This is a good start, but this is the first time we have national plans. We will revise them, we will update them, and of course we will continue to urge those countries who have not yet provided plans meeting the 2% target to do so. So this is a beginning, this is a start, and we will continue to work for even more progress. We will publish later on figures when it comes to individual allies on defense spending. We do that in a regular way, so that will be figures that will be provided later on. The national plans are not going to be public, but figures on defense spending in each individual allies will be made public later on.
Associated Press, third round.
Yeah. Lorne Cook from the Associated Press. Just on Iraq, Secretary General, if you could flesh that out a little bit for us. As you've said, there's already there are training teams there at the moment. What are we looking at? How substantial is it? Some nations have mentioned the possibility of working in other cities in Iraq, but also outside. I know you're in the planning stage, but if you can give us just a bit more, that would be good.
The current training activity of NATO in Iraq is based on what we call mobile training teams, meaning that we are sending in mobile teams who are there for a limited period of time, some weeks or some days, and then they go out again. There is a core team, which is fairly limited, that organize these mobile training teams, which comes in, train, and then leave again. Sometimes also we take Iraqi officers from Iraq and train them in NATO allied countries and even in partner countries. For instance, Serbia provides training for Iraqi officers in the NATO framework as a partner nation. So the current training activity is based on a small core team organizing, facilitating mobile training teams providing training for Iraqi officers. The idea now is to go from this concept to a more substantive concept, which is based on trainers in Iraq, where we are going to train the trainers and help them to build defense education or to build defense schools and defense academies. Exactly in which areas is a bit too early to say. We are now training in areas as, for instance, countering IED, improvised explosive devices, military medicine, logistics, and in some other areas, and we will look into what more we can do. We will scale up exactly how much, how many trainers remains to be seen. That's exactly what we're going to look into when we now have started to plan. But we will move from this mobile training concept to a more permanent training mission.
Ria Novosti in the fourth row, center.
Vladimir Dobrovolsky from Russian news agency RIA Novosti. Secretary General, Russia has, for the moment, no ambassador to NATO. What impact do you think it will have on NATO-Russia relations? And will you discuss this subject with Minister Lavrov during your meeting this week? And the second question, if I may, when do you expect the NATO-Russia Council meeting to take place? Is it this year, and on what level? Thank you very much.
It is a normal thing that countries change their ambassadors, and this is a rotation, and we have seen before that sometimes it takes some time from an ambassador is leaving or going home to a new ambassador comes. That was also the case last time. I look forward to meeting Minister Lavrov in Munich. That's part of our political dialogue with Russia. We will discuss many different issues, but I expect us also to address how we can make sure that the NATO-Russia Council can continue to be a platform for dialogue between NATO and Russia. I believe that dialogue is always important, but dialogue is particularly important when tensions are high and the relations are difficult as they are now. And I also welcome the fact that after 2 years with no meetings in the NATO-Russia Council from 2014 to 2016, we have been able to convene six meetings of the NATO-Russia Council addressing different issues, Ukraine, but also military transparency, risk reduction, air safety in the Baltic region. We are making some progress on that through a Finnish-led expert group. We are looking into how we can develop procedures, guidelines for increasing air safety in the Baltic region. We have also used the NATO-Russia Council to have reciprocal briefings on military exercises, the Zapad exercise and NATO exercises, and also on military posture. So I look forward to meeting Minister Lavrov. We have met many, many times before, both in my capacity as Secretary General, but also in my previous capacity as Norwegian Prime Minister. So I look forward to that meeting.
Gentleman at the back.
I have a question on the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. You were there recently. How likely is it for you that the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia will enter the NATO? How interested is the NATO in such a small country, and how do you deserve the country's relationship to Greece?
NATO decided back in 2008 at our summit in Bucharest that we will invite the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia to become member as soon as the name issue has been solved in a mutual acceptable way. It has not been possible in all the years since then to find a solution. I hope that the renewed initiatives you have seen now can lead to a mutual acceptable solution. I visited recently Skopje. This was one of the issues we discussed. And the government in Skopje, the new government there with Prime Minister Zoran Zaev, has clearly stated that they would like to show some flexibility to try to find a solution. I also recently spoke with Prime Minister Tsipras of Greece, and we have the UN negotiator who has now put forward some new proposals on how to solve this issue, the name issue. I will be very careful speculating about the likelihood of an agreement. This is an issue that has been addressed for more than 20 years, since 1995. And the UN mediator has worked on these issues for many, many years. But I really hope that it's possible to find a solution, because that will solve a problem which has been there for a long time between the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia and Greece, and it will also enable Fyrom to become a member of the alliance. So therefore, I urge them to be flexible and to try to find a solution, and also discuss this issue with the Greek defense minister during this meeting.
Kabul Times, lady in the second row.
Thank you, Secretary. You mentioned it, that Georgia and also Tunisia is trying to help with the training of Afghan security for the resilient support mission. Is there any deadline for the resilient support mission, when it will be done? And also regarding to Taliban, send a letter to U.S., what's your comment on that for the peace negotiation? Yeah. Thank you.
Our rescue support mission in Afghanistan is a condition-based mission, and the aim is to continue to strengthen the Afghan national security forces. enabling them to secure their own country and to be fully responsible, as they now are, for security in Afghanistan. And we have seen a lot of progress. There are many problems. And in Afghanistan, we see violence, we see terrorism, we see attacks, terrible attacks against civilians recently in Kabul. But we've also seen some progress, especially when it comes to the quality, the strength of the Afghan forces. We have helped to train their special operation forces, the air forces, and also their command and control. And we are now increasing our presence in Afghanistan to be able to provide even more support, not in a NATO combat operation, but to train and help and assist the Afghan forces. We don't think that there is a military solution to the conflict in Afghanistan. But we strongly believe that we need a strong Afghan force to be able to create the conditions for a political solution. Taliban has to understand that they will never win on the battlefield, so they have to come to the negotiating table and agree to a political solution. That's the reason why we are providing military support, is to enable a political solution. We welcome also any efforts to find a political solution, and we strongly believe that this should be an Afghan-led and an Afghan-owned peace process. So therefore, NATO support the Afghan-led and the Afghan-owned peace process, which also, of course, at some stage has to include finding a political solution with the Taliban. But Taliban has to understand that they cannot win on the battlefield. They have to sit down and negotiate.
Okay, Reuters.
Thanks, Werner. Secretary General, coming back to Iraq, would you favour a limited assignment, putting an end date on the mission, given the experience in Afghanistan and being there much longer than many allies had hoped? And secondly, will you favour a call to the NATO partners, the non-NATO members, the close partners, to help the training in Iraq as well? Thank you.
Yes, we will, of course, welcome support from partners, as NATO always does, because that's already the case. We have already partners helping us with training activities in Iraq. I mentioned Serbia, which do some mobile training team activities in Belgrade in military medicine. And I think it's very hard to imagine that we will not welcome that also in the future training mission. I think it will be very wrong if I started to speculate too much about time limits and so on. I think what we have learned from Afghanistan, from Iraq, and from other places is that one thing is to, say, win on the battlefield, but afterwards we have to make sure that we are able to stabilize the country. And enable the local forces, the local governments, the local authorities to be fully in charge and to be able to stabilize the country. Therefore, I think that the lesson learned from instance from Iraq is that it's dangerous to leave too early, because then we may be forced back in combat operations. So we should not stay longer than necessary, but we should stay as long as it is needed to make sure that we are not forced back in a combat operation.
Lady in the third row.
Good morning. Maria Psara from Ethno newspaper, Athens. This week we saw renewed incidents and tensions in the Aegean Sea between the two NATO allies, Greece and Turkey. Did you discuss this matter with the Greek and Turkish defense ministers? And are you concerned about this tension between the two NATO allies? Thank you.
I have discussed and addressed this issue in talks both with the Greek and the Turkish Minister of Defense during our ministerial meeting. We were briefed about the incident in the eastern part of the Aegean Sea involving Coast Guard ships. I welcome the fact that the two prime ministers have talked on phone, and I urge them to continue to have direct contact to make sure that we avoid similar incidents in the future and to reduce tensions and avoid escalation. Both Turkey and Greece are two valued NATO allies, and of course we would like to do anything possible to avoid any real problems or escalation in the conflict and the tensions between the two countries.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press point.
Thank you so much.